Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome back to Soul Sisters. I say boys and girls because we are looking at a class of children, and by children I mean 1.5-year-olds who are, I don't know what they're doing in there actually.
Learning music, playing music.
Are they? They're not playing music.
Well, they're dancing. They're getting down.
There's an adult with a headset mic who's jumping around with a guitar, and the kids are just kind of watching her like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I love the headset mic. It makes it super official. Yeah. And a drummer playing.
It's very intense.
Yeah.
Kids, gotta start them early if you want those young prodigies.
Right? I mean, talk about something else that we haven't talked about. This was a part of my life.
Yes.
I did that.
You did it. You were
not
the,
as a baby.
You were the teacher.
Actually, I did do it as a baby, but it was not so like New York and cool. No, I was a teacher right out of college. I did that for a while.
Whoa.
At a place called Little Maestros Company.
You didn't play an instrument.
I sang. Yeah.
You sang?
No, I sang and danced. Danced around and did puppet shows and like.
How old were they?
The kids.
Yeah.
They were like, I don't know, one. And it was a group.
How was
a
that?
Big group. It was great. It was actually great. I have to say.
What songs were you singing?
They were all like original baby tunes.
By you?
No.
Oh
no. This
what do you
is
mean
like
original.
I think whoever I really. I mean, goodness. I could be wrong, but I want to say that whoever, like the people involved in creating this company, had songwriters and they wrote like original Little Maestros tunes for the kids, and they were fun. And it was like, I think it was like half hour, you know, sets or whatever, or maybe it was 45 minutes. It was like a half hour lesson, half hour, you know,
class.
Play time class. Yeah. And it was good money, fun. I mean, it
where was
like
that?
A
what city?
We would go. It was in New York.
Okay.
It was all. We would go to different locations, gymboree's around the city, and like
that's awesome.
And yeah,
you had the headset?
Could do like 3 or 4 a day. No, we didn't need a headset. No. I don't know why. I don't know why she had the headset.
Because she's playing guitar. That's why she needs the headset.
Yeah. Right.
And she's moving around.
Right. But that I like.
Awesome.
I never think about that too.
See, this is why. Okay, soon we're gonna have an episode where I interview you properly because this is part of your musician story. Is these oddball
chops?
That
is, I guess, the Little Maestros is.
Yeah,
I never think
so
about
good.
It. Yeah, I was still living in Stamford. I was living at home still.
You
I was like commuting
in?
To do this. Yeah, yeah, man,
that's very
I
cute.
Forgot about that. Yeah. Anyway, so that's a little bit more about me. Let's learn a little bit more about you today.
Oh, hot seat.
Hot seat. We did the questions for me last time. Or another time. All right. Are
filled
you ready?
With dread. No.
Are you ready? So we got to answer these quick.
Okay.
Here's some getting to know Jesse questions. I'm sure it's Jesse getting to know Jesse questions.
Yeah. So if I'm answering them quick, what?
I keep.
No. Oh, okay. Let's
we need a little
this.
Bit of
Does
a diaper. Yes, because
I know I've been hearing you panicking constantly.
Good,
introducing
it's a
me
thing.
To people.
It is
you
a thing
can
now.
Call me Jessie. It's fine.
But what should I call you?
Whatever feels natural. So that still feels natural to you. So call me that. It's fine.
Nope.
It's
I don't want to call
I
you.
I was doing a shtick. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Because when I introduced you as Jess, you said Jessie. Like, I was like, this is Jess, and you're like, hi, I'm Jessie.
Because it was to someone I had been emailing with a lot and calling myself Jessie in my emails, so I didn't want, because I could tell they were like, because they had to then introduce me to somebody, so it was like starting a whole train of confusion.
Makes more sense that I was confused, too, because we started off, and we were connecting over, you know, messaging. And so, of course, I would do that. So, but I haven't, I don't know what other people, what do other people call you? Jess?
Jess and Jake.
Jay. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right. It'll come naturally as long as...
I'm not upset not like when you say
don't,
Jessie.
Like, cringe when you okay.
No, I would have told you a long time ago, 4 months ago when we met. No, 6-5 months.
No, it feels like
anyway.
Yeah. Okay,
it's fine. All right,
so it's fine.
Okay,
goodness.
Reset.
Stressful. Okay, here we go with questions. Ready? Answer quickly.
Wait. What I was gonna say, because I'm answering quickly, my answers might not always be true.
Man, I wish I had put that disclaimer too. That was smart. Yes, good.
No,
I
mean, but you should tell me bullshit.
But I have or to stand they by might them. Actually be super true. I think that's actually more accurate if okay. you answer super quick.
We'll see. I'll self-assess.
I hate these things, but okay. Here we go. You hate the smell of
God. Just like super fruity air freshener because it's like, what are we covering up? You know what I mean. Like, it just makes me think of all the bad smells that someone's trying to hide.
Look at your brain. I love it. You love the smell of?
Pine-scented incense. Like those little pine sticks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Last song that made you cry?
Song. Oh, like X Factor every time.
X Factor?
Lauryn Hill.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whoa. Good one. Have you ever been skinny dipping?
I think possibly not since I was like 6 in my grandparents' pool. I don't know if that even counts. Well, I remember it being a thing.
It was a thing?
Because my grandfather, who's 92, likes to go skinny dipping in their pool in the summer. And so once I was like, well, I want to do it.
Oh,
and then the whole thing felt weird. I mean, we weren't doing it together for the record. Yeah.
Okay, great. First kiss was where?
I think it was whitewater rafting trip summer before 7th grade JCC summer camp.
On a truth raft? Or dare.
No, oh, it was okay. We
it
were
was like
camping.
Trip.
During the trip, we were camping and we played. No, we played spin the bottle.
Wait, this is like you have to think about this very much.
I can't remember what game we played.
Okay. Do you remember the boy? Games.
Yeah. I friended him on Facebook a few years
recently?
Ago.
Recently?
I wanted to see what he was up to. And I sent him a message.
Aw.
And he didn't, I don't know. I think maybe he didn't remember.
Didn't remember that first kiss?
Yeah. It probably wasn't his first kiss. Mm-hmm. He was very sought after. It was a real victory for me.
Right on. Your go-to way to end a conversation?
Is this the same fan, I wonder, who submitted these questions? My go-to way to end our conversation is... shit, I don't know. You tell me.
I feel like you're just like, okay.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is it.
Okay.
Yeah, that sucks.
With like a hug or something.
Changing
no,
it.
It's amazing.
A game to learn how to hate yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. The last conversation you had with a stranger was about?
Last conversation I had with a stranger was about, my dog. I mean, that happens every day.
People stop you and.
Yeah,
like,
my
yeah.
dog is like a model, so.
Yeah.
It's so obnoxious. It's like dating someone
Does
who's
everyone
really,
think that their dog
really
is a
attractive.
Model?
No. I mean,
no? I think they
maybe,
do.
But they're not all right.
Aw, Abby.
Yeah.
Would you talk to people on a plane? You would. I'm the only, like...
Well, you're stuck there, so to freeze them out is really fucking awkward.
Yeah. No, it's really awkward. Would you be super bummed
out?
You
don't give a shit.
Would you be like, fuck?
Yeah, no, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Some
people, like, want to do it. Obviously, yeah. The people that do it.
So when I flew to Austin last spring for my cousin's, she didn't want to call it this, but it was a bachelorette weekend. There was a guy sitting next to me who struck up conversation. He looked like he was probably 10 years younger than me. And he was on his way to Austin for a bachelor party. And he clearly thought this was going to be the perfect pairing. We had like the same number of people in each of our parties. And he wanted to like sync up all of our plans for the weekends. And all of his bros would hook up with all of my ladies, and the whole flight was that conversation.
Like planning, like planning. Scheming?
Yes.
Were you like down, like, or
remembering,
were you like
every word so I could run off the plane and repeat the whole thing to them? Like, no, they, like, never in a million years was that going to happen.
It was just like an amazing story.
Yeah.
Of like, can you believe people?
And then he was texting me all weekend, like, we're on South Third. Where are you? Like, waiting for you guys.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Because sometimes amazing things happen meeting people like that. I mean, I feel like,
yeah,
I, these
are people who are about
off
to get married. Like, that's a recipe for disaster. We're going to be perfectly paired, men and women, and have like a crazy,
well,
weekend.
Well, the bachelor, it wasn't
the
bride and groom that wanted to pair. It was like everyone else.
No. Yeah, but still, I don't know. It seems,
no, you're
weird.
Right.
It's,
I mean,
not in the spirit of the thing.
Right. No, definitely. Yeah. Definitely weird. Well, or it is, because it's like what's that movie? Sideways. It's like, let's go, well,
like a last hurrah kind of,
a last hurrah, let's just have an adventure and meet people in whatever weird way, and yeah, like see where it takes us. I mean, I think by not being open the way that I'm not open to meeting people sometimes, uh-huh, I close myself off. And it's funny, because I love to talk to people and ask them quite, like, I love to interview people.
Yeah.
But like, if I'm not in that mode, I'm like, don't talk to me.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think it definitely, you definitely close off to like the band, we were going somewhere one time, or and they know that I'm like this closed off weirdo. It's, I'm making it too strong.
You are.
I'm not.
You're not that way at all.
I'm not that way.
Well, I don't know. But maybe you are with strangers.
I am. I mean, I like to,
but
like,
you're not like, like if you like come to a party I'm having, you, no, talk to everybody.
Absolutely,
in the room.
Absolutely. That's a social situation.
Yeah.
Travel feels like a very, like, I get to like be in my
bubble,
own world. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
But like, you know, one time Lily sat next to this pilot and had this like incredible conversation and like talked about his career and experiences. And like, I was like, ugh, I would never. Blah. And like, you know, there's something to be said for talking to people on a plane.
Yeah. No, I have a friend like that, though. She'll do it with anybody, even if their story is really boring. And then I get livid.
You mean
because she just gets off on talking to strangers? Not every stranger is that interesting, right, you know.
Right.
You got to pick and choose.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it with the right ones.
Yeah.
See, we're interviewers, so we know how to find them.
Right, and we know
see
when
if you have
not
a story. Yeah. No, that's probably not true at all.
Okay, we're gonna. Anyway, should we save the rest of these, or should we keep going?
Let's that wasn't see the end.
No,
oh,
there's,
well,
a lot more, girl.
Launch into a diatribe. I think that's enough.
All right, that's enough. We'll come back to these.
Yes. Okay.
There's a couple more good ones. Okay.
I squirmed my way out of that. Who do we have on the show today? We have Noelle Skaggs from Fits and the Tantrums.
So rad.
A band that I love. I was so into them when they broke out. I think it was like 8 or so years ago. They were part of the whole kind of retro soul revival scene, and they're awesome. And they have a new album out, and it's very cool. I got to preview it, and she was super lovely. So, yeah, anyway, let's get to it with Noelle.
Yeah, I've been up since 7.
Okay.
What time do you get to work?
Today wasn't too bad, but I woke up super early because I had to walk my dog and I had to move my car. I just moved back from LA.
Oh,
where
you did.
I acquired things like dogs, yeah, and cars.
Yeah.
Which is not like the easiest thing to have in New York, especially the car.
And what kind of dog do you have?
He's a little terrier mix.
Little terrier, cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got my dog. I moved to Nashville recently.
Did?
Yeah,
oh,
and
cool.
I got my dog last year, August.
Nice.
And she is so cute. She,
yeah,
was 10 weeks when I got her.
Aww.
She's so cute.
So little.
I know, she's amazing. She's like the most chill,
yeah,
and smart dog. Like,
you got lucky.
Yeah, she's great.
Where'd you find her?
I actually adopted her from this like more foster,
nice,
care thing called Proverbs 12:10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were they intense about the adoption process?
No, you fill out an application and it's just, yeah, like tons of questions. And
okay,
it's like, you know, like very, you know, it's like, if your dog did something bad, how would you respond? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I just respond the way you do a child and just,
yeah,
stern but loving.
Totally.
Like, I was like, I don't know how to answer this question.
I know. It can be kind of grueling.
Abuse the dog. Yeah.
Yeah. I was, yeah, looking at a lot of those services before I got my dog, who I ended up just finding him, like friends of a friend found him in the street. He was an actual stray.
Yeah.
But those services, I remember filling out those things, and then they wanted to do a home visit. So it was,
yeah,
like trying to schedule that was always a nightmare.
Yep.
And then I didn't have a yard or anything, and they were very concerned about that all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like,
Yeah, is have a yard fenced in. Like, they ask you all kinds of stuff. They want to make sure that the dog can't jump over and and run out in the street. But I walk her off the leash.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, I trained her off the leash, like going hiking at Runyon every day for the last like month.
Wow.
She's awesome.
I was too afraid to let my dog off leash at Runyon.
Yeah.
I thought he would like run off the canyon and off a cliff.
Yeah.
Or like chase a snake.
I run with her. It's all kinds of stuff. She's awesome.
That's great.
She's a good dog.
Well, good for you. Thanks. You must have had some good karma out there. It came back to you.
Yeah. It was interesting because I was like, well, I want to meet her. Like, what if she doesn't like me?
Yeah. It's so like that. I know. It's just like,
what if she doesn't vibe with me? Yeah, but the minute I picked her up, you know how they like say turn them on their back like a baby, and if they go like this, it's submissive.
No.
And if they don't, like they're moving around, they're kind of not aggressive, but just like it's going to be hard to train them.
That's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's cool.
So she was submissive.
She was submissive. She gets it right away. She flies with me on the plane.
Aw.
Yeah, she's great.
That's really nice. Well, welcome to Pet Talk, everybody.
Pet Talk. Oh, my God. Where are
we at? Just I don't know. I don't know if we'll use that or not. I mean, that's kind of a lovely way to start our
conversation.
Yeah. You know, we're just learning about you, what's going on with you.
Hey, got
and dogs
a dog.
Are an important part of everyone's life.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you moved to Nashville.
I moved to Nashville.
Because I was going to ask you about living in LA, because you grew up there, right?
I grew up in Los Angeles in Pasadena.
Okay.
Actually, I'm a neighborhood girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you stay in Pasadena?
I actually did for a minute. I was living with my parents because I was poor.
Okay. And then, that's fair.
Yeah, I kind of stayed on the east side before I moved to Nashville. I was living in Silver Lake.
Uh-huh.
And I love that neighborhood. And I should have kept my apartment there. Like, I should have. But I let it go, and I was so sad after, because I've been in LA so often. Like, I just ended up getting another apartment with a friend of mine. So it's because I need a stable place in town.
Totally.
So it's you know, it's cool actually being able to go there and just being in one spot and seeing friends and my family's there. It's, you know, it's
keeps
cool.
Your life kind of normal.
It's cool.
When it's not that normal.
Yeah, and I have great friends in Nashville. It's been a lovely experience moving there because there's so much happening.
Totally.
You know, and it's really cool. People talk to each other, and it's like
imagine
fun.
That
I mean, yeah,
a little different from LA.
Yeah, me and some new friends that I just recently like acquired over the weekend went kayaking for 6 hours.
Whoa,
I got real tan.
That's awesome.
It was fun.
How did you meet them?
I met them through a mutual friend, this guy named Kyle Lampy, who is actually like a DJ producer out there. And just him and his roommate are just hilarious people. So I met like three or four friends, new friends from them. And, you know, it's cool because we'll all hang out again. They came to a barbecue at my house on Saturday.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so curious about how people who aren't, let's say, in college anymore, make new friends.
Yeah.
Unless you work together in the same office or you're living together, it gets harder and harder to make real friends.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I'm a very social person. Uh-huh. Like, you know, like LA for me was, I was starting to get a little bit closed off. Like my cluster of friends is very small. Like I cut off a lot of people, but like me.
Like intentionally cut them off?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I really strongly feel like you get to a seasonal point with people and you know who's going to stay and who's going to go.
Who needs to drop off the vine.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like we have things in common. You become associates and stuff, but I enjoy friends that check in on me.
Uh-huh.
You know, we tour crazy. So it's nice to know that people want to know how I'm doing, how my well-being is,
right?
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And we see each other and it's love and dinners and it's just, you know, we are into the same things. We can travel together. It's like, you know, that's cool. And Nashville, I've gotten so many amazing friends there.
That's so nice.
You know, so it's really, really fun.
You been there for now?
I moved there almost 9 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you feel like
it may almost be a year?
Really?
Yeah. Well, I went out there for a month.
Uh-huh. To feel it out.
Fell in love with it, and my house fell in my lap.
What?
3 weeks in. 3 weeks in.
Oh, man.
So I like.
Did you not have the intention of moving there? Or you were
I was thinking about it. I went there to kind of basically recoup from the last like 12 years of touring. I went out there.
You're like 12 years. I'm going to give myself a month
I'm just
off.
Like, I need like, let's do this because we're going to start on the new record. I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I like just fell in love with it. It was like dead of winter.
Yeah.
And it decided to be real cold out there. It was like 4 degrees. I was like, this is not the Nashville that I was told about.
You think of it as being the South?
Yeah.
but yeah. The weather's not that southern all the time.
And I kind of wanted to go there to see if I could survive the winter. I mean, I'm, you know.
Yeah, relative LA, to where you came
like,
from.
I'm a bit of a coward. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
So okay, you guys can be real bad about
I'm like, I do not like cold.
I met so many people in LA who went to college back east and lasted one semester.
Yeah.
It's a very common tale.
It is hard. It cracks me up. Out there in those cold streets. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was, I just went out there to go visit a friend and it just rolled out from there.
It just clicked immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Made
That's
a,
really
a,
nice.
Made a phone call to my account. I was like, I want to put in an offer on this house. He was like, okay, first of all, you want to move to Tennessee.
He's like, let's back up for a second.
He's like, Tennessee, you sure? I was like, yes, it's Nashville. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. And I still do. I don't feel like I'm in a honeymoon phase. It's definitely a home for me.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Big ups, Nashville.
Yeah. Like, are you on the music scene there?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can, kind of can't.
It's true.
Not
I mean, you
be.
Go out for breakfast.
But it's a songwriter. Yeah. It's a songwriter town. And, you know, that's why another reason I was really comfortable moving there, because I'm being around creative people. And I mean, the talent coming out of that city.
Crazy.
The women there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the women there are just incredible. It kind of makes you just seem like, okay, I got to work on my game even further, because this is like a AAA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just beautiful people, the voices. It's awesome. Yeah.
Although we just had a guest on the show who was in Nashville also, Maggie Rose, and she was saying there aren't a lot of female producers in Nashville.
No, there's this one girl named Sarah, and I forget her last name, but she's repped by a friend of mine, and she's supposed to be a wonderful writer and producer. Track producer too, which is very rare there. But it's really interesting you mentioned Maggie Rose, because my friend Nada Taha is her head of graphics. She does all
of
her website stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, she just took her on about 6 months ago.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's been in Nashville for a while, but she had like a complicated history with breaking into the industry down there.
Okay.
But she was really just getting her start for the very first time down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of it was Nashville specific, and some of it was, I think, industry in general.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it used to be kind of a boys club from what I hear. And now, like, the women have been like, they have to do everything.
Taking it. Yeah.
They're taking it, and it's really, really cool. You
That's
know,
awesome.
I haven't met one woman that wasn't the echelon.
Yeah.
Like, up here. You know,
That's
so
great.
it's really cool. And they're very supportive.
Yeah.
You know, the women there are very supportive of each other. You know,
That's
as far
huge.
As what I can tell so far, you know what I mean? It's been cool. Like, they love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so important. It's interesting. It can go one of two ways. Either I hear stories of women being very supportive, or there can be an attitude, especially I hear this from like movie and TV industry more, that it's like, well, I did this for myself. I worked my ass off to get here.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you can do that too for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So it's,
I mean, I'm
tricky.
A strong believer if you can help someone, you know, it's because me in LA, it was all about community.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like, there were tons of male musicians, but there were incredible female vocalists and stuff. So I would get called for sessions. And if I weren't in town, I would recommend one specific friend or two specific friends that I know could work really well together and put them in a room with somebody. And, you know, my producer friends would call back and they're like, thank you so much, because these women were incredible.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, like they do the same thing for me. Like, hey, I have this thing, but I can't do it. Are you around? 100%.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
You know, so it's for me, it's like any time you can kind of help someone out in that way, I mean, it just comes back tenfold, and I just do it just because I want to.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
What is it like gaining some fame and success in the town that you grew up in? Even though it's not like LA's a small town, but it's still, it must feel like sometimes there were two parts of your life or two parts of your soul.
You know, it's interesting. In LA, I kind of kept to myself. I'm kind of that way. Like, I don't really talk about my career that much. There are some people that I think like recognize me, but a lot of people just don't quite say anything.
Okay.
And then I find out later from their friend, they were like freaking out. I'm like, why are they freaking out? It's just me.
I should have said something.
The most normal person like in the world just happens to have purple hair.
Otherwise, yeah, totally normal.
Yeah, you know, I've had experiences where there have been, you know, people that are like, they get super giddy and they want to, you know, just chat. And I'm like, dude, let's just chat about food.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
let's talk about, like, I'm on tour all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to talk about just like other stuff. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? You know, like, what do you have going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably helps you too to stay humble, to have like, yeah, old friends and family around, yeah, you.
Absolutely.
Or now your new friends.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Depending on which city you're in at the right moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's happening? You guys have this new album coming out. Are you just like going all around talking about it? Is that
self-titled? And yeah, we're just starting, yeah, to get on the grind about, you know, spreading the word on the record.
Okay.
Hand Clap, our song, came out and it's been doing quite well for us. Very excited about, you know, what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And just trying to spread the word to people.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's been cool. Like, I read our Twitter all the time. I'm kind of obsessed, yeah, with our social media stuff. You know, people are into it. They're so, yeah, excited. They're like, oh, this Fit song is so fun and it's my workout song. And I love, you know, I love,
that's
kind
awesome,
of reading that. It's very, you know, I love it. I love the support that we get from fans, but then, yeah, to see, you know, what seems like new fans that had never heard of us before.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, this, I want to learn more about this band.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And you get to follow us. This is our third record.
Right.
You know, I'm feeling grown up now. I'm like,
yeah,
hey.
Is a third record less pressure because, you know, the sophomore effort has all of,
yeah,
this.
Well, it's interesting with the sophomore, for instance,
yeah,
with More Than Just a Dream, we were fresh off tour. I think myself and Fitz maybe took a week off.
That's
and it.
It
was just, we were on the grind,
oh,
like,
man,
writing. This time we felt like we could really take our time. We kind of needed a break,
yeah,
for a bit. I was just like, give me a vacation for like,
yeah,
like, I'm like, I'll come back
left
in like a month. I'm like, I am juiced.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this record for myself and Fitz was, this was difficult. This,
yeah,
was a difficult record, you know. It was a different process.
To write.
Yeah. Yeah. We both had writer's block at the end of it. I was just,
okay,
like I said, I was juiced,
yeah,
you know, and I think he was as well. It was just,
so it wasn't necessarily the pressure of it.
It wasn't
or
the
anything
pressure.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, maybe there was some pressure there.
Yeah.
You know, this is our second record with our label.
Okay.
Elektra. You know, they,
okay,
took us on.
So it's kind of a sophomore effort.
It's kind of a sophomore,
yeah,
effort, you know. So it was just kind of like, and how can we push the bar even further now?
Yeah.
You know, and I think creatively we were trying some stuff. Nothing was really working. You know, I was kind of in between places of trying to like move from a, you know, from one city to the next. And, you know, I think we just needed to take like another break and another kind of like look at things. So when I moved away, I was like, Fitz, just get in there with... let's get in some rooms with some other people.
Yeah.
You know, so we actually did a lot of collaborative outside writers on this record,
okay,
and it really forced us to, you know, to be able to look into a different place. Like,
uh-huh,
this is our most personal record.
Right.
You know, the fact that it's now self-titled,
uh-huh,
like for me is like the very empowering to be able to just say, this is Fitz in the Tantrums.
That's cool.
Fitz in the Tantrums record. You know, new introduction to,
yeah,
you know, new fans, and we're just reaching. And, you know, this whole record is about that desire. It's about that passion. You,
uh-huh,
know, there's every single song has some sort of like desire, whether it's in relationship and, you know, dealing with loneliness in some way and kind of building yourself back up. Like all of these songs have that kind of content, even though they're fun.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the lyrics, it's like, oh, there's
some consistent, yeah, messaging there.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think like writing with other writers really forces, it puts a mirror in front of you because it's like, well, what do you want to write about?
Right.
Versus freestyling it.
Uh-huh.
You,
uh-huh,
know what I mean? Because it's really easy to freestyle when you're a writer because you're inspired by outside things.
Yeah.
This was like, what are you feeling right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want to personally write about? What is your experience? You know, and,
yeah,
I think myself and Fitz were growing. I was like dealing with awful relationships, you know, like throughout the year, hard as a woman touring, like a lot of guys can't handle that. And then he was getting married and his family was starting. All of the guys were, you know, having these new transitions in their lives. And, you know, for me, I was like, okay, I need, I'm grown up now. I'm grown up now. Let's do this, you know? So yeah, this record is very, very personal for us. And it's really cool, you know, to have this record be that, you know, and it is a scary thing to, you know, come into a major label situation and, you know, how is it going to be? Are they going to take all of our creative away? And it's just not that way.
That's awesome.
Our label is very supportive.
Although your sound has definitely been evolving. But it's nice to know that that's coming from you guys, not from any external
force.
Not
from anybody else.
I mean, I definitely thought of you guys as kind of retro, like retro pop. I don't know, but I remember becoming aware of you in that moment of the previous decade when it was all about like Sharon Jones and I was really into like Eli Paperboy Reed and it was like this whole soul rebirth that was happening. And then you guys were like a cool hybrid that kind of fit into that. So that's how I've thought of you mostly for these past years. But now catching up on your stuff and listening to the new album, I'm like, oh, that's not really what's happening here.
Yeah, there's a progression for us. You know, we, myself and Fitz are all about that. I've never been an artist that wanted to just be pigeonholed. You know, and neither has he. You know, he was able to find his voice and a certain style of music, and it just happened to come out that way. It wasn't like he thought that he was going to be this kind of like blue-eyed soul guy. That's where the sound ended up going, and it worked.
And it was very much in the air at that moment. And I don't remember why or what sparked that. And I feel like we've kind of all moved past it a little bit too. Like that's all evolving.
It's all
also
breakup.
It
was breakup music.
It's true.
You know, it's like in the beginning, him trying to get over a breakup. You know, and these like biting songs, these juxtaposed songs. That's how I feel about our band. That's how our band is. If you look at us, we're a juxtaposed band. You have like, I'm the only African-American in a group of guys. And we're all different, you know, different ages. We're all very seasoned in what we do. And our music's very energetic. But also, if you listen to the lyrics, it's like completely different. You're like, what? Money grabber. Oh, she's a H-W-O-R-E because she's like doing that kind of stuff, you know, and then up to More Than Just a Dream, which was, you know, we had our biting breakup songs, but it was also very empowering, Break the Walls. And, you know, everything was very worldly and anthemic and, you know, the music was there and it really matched our live performance, you know what I mean? Which has been our calling card since the beginning. And I feel like with this new record, it is the same, but it's very personal. You know what I mean? So we're mixing in what we still have been known for, exciting, you know, music, but we're pushing it and we're doing new things creatively.
What is your dynamic with Fitz as band leaders?
It's fun.
How does it work? Is it, is it a 50-50 thing?
It is. It is. You know, in the beginning, when I first started, I led my own band for many years. And, you know, when I came into it, it was kind of like, I don't know if I can be anybody's background singer. That's definitely not happening. I'm very seasoned in what I do. And, you know, I'm very, very specific about what I want to do in my life with my career. And I feel like...
Was he looking for a backup singer initially?
I think in the beginning, I don't know exactly. I think he just wanted to try the songs and see how they resonated with people in a live performance because there was something there. And I think when he and I got together, that first rehearsal, the chemistry just... It was there from the beginning. And as we performed more, I started feeling comfortable about what I could bring to the table. In the beginning, I was kind of just observing, you know, what may be there, what may be lacking, what he's green on, and, you know, what what I'm green on in this particular, you know, type of environment. And it slowly but surely became us co-leading. You know what I mean? This last record, I was very prevalent in the writing. You know, I wrote Out of My League, co-wrote The Walker. I did pretty much the majority of the record with him. And that was really fun for me. You know, that was a really great experience coming out of like picking up the pieces because I kind of came out of, you know, like the 5-song EP was already done.
Right.
You know, and then it was just basically me contributing vocals and stuff. And then I wrote Picking Up the Pieces, which was like the, you know, the co-written song with us. And, you know, so to see it kind of transition. And now it's just being like a balance of bringing other people in.
Yeah.
You know,
were you also writing with your previous band?
Yeah.
The Rebirth.
Yeah. The Rebirth. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That was how I grew up.
Yeah.
That's how I really came into my own as a performer and gained my confidence. You know, because that particular, you know, period of music was like when Jill Scott was huge and, you know,
so
it was
when did you start with them? Did you form that band or you joined?
I joined. So they had there was a band called Mesh of Mine.
Okay.
And it kind of defunct from there. But the original producer, this guy named Carlos Guaico, who became really good friends of me, he saw me performing with just some friends. I was just singing a chorus thing for them at one of his clubs.
Okay.
And he approached me. He's like, I have this project. I'm looking for, you know, a female vocalist to like lead the project. Uh-huh. Would you be interested in coming and just checking it out? And I did. And for a while I was kind of just like, I didn't know if I really wanted to do music as a career. I wanted to do songwriting. I wanted to, you know, possibly be an A&R. Like I was just trying to figure it out. Yeah. Okay. I love the business end.
Interesting.
You know, love the business end. I went to, you know, college studying, you know, music business and popular songwriting. Okay. That was something that I really wanted to do.
We'll circle back to that. Oh, yes, yeah. I want to get to that earlier part of your life.
Exactly. But the Rebirth, I basically met through that one situation where I was singing hip hop.
Okay.
Which was a big thing too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like 2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
All right. So then you joined them and you were green as a band leader.
It was, yeah.
Right? I mean, that was your first.
I was still trying to like figure out what to do with my hands at that point.
I hear that that's a thing.
That's a thing.
So funny. Yeah.
That's a thing. Trying to figure out how to be with your body.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to be completely present in what you're doing.
Right.
You know, or you just like super awkward. And I was shy for a while, like getting on stage. Like I had fun singing. That was something that I always liked to do. Like I loved doing the assemblies in, you know, like high school and singing a cappella. I mean, I would sing a cappella in front of the entire school. So I was used to kind of
like
doing
in a
that.
Group?
By myself.
By yourself?
Yeah.
What were you singing?
No band. I was singing things like En Vogue and like Anita Baker and like I was doing stuff like that was hardcore.
You know? Yeah, seriously.
And like everybody thought that I was finished, but there was another verse.
Oh my God.
So it's one of those things, but being in a band is totally different.
Yeah.
You know, live instrumentation, really listening to the keys and, you know, being a part of this collective.
Yeah.
You know, and I tried it on my own and I that was one of the reasons why I took a break because it was so hard. Like I had these incredible musicians, but they were like session musicians. Mm-hmm. They were older. They were used to getting paid. And I was like, I'm broke in college. This is like my first gig.
In college, you tried to start a band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was just me like solo.
Okay.
But I had like a backup, you know, kind of like band situation.
Right.
But it was tough.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of my opportunities after that came from that experience.
Interesting.
You know, these guys like they were like, she's awesome performer and love her music. And, you know, they became very supportive of me.
Yeah.
You know, so there was this whole, you know, transition of me trying to figure out what I wanted to do, then joining the Rebirth and being with, you know, that band for about 8 to 10 years and realizing that I wanted something more for myself. Like I felt like I could go the next level.
Yeah.
You know,
artistically?
Artistically.
Okay.
You know, I didn't feel like I could just be, you know, stuck in this kind of underground thing, struggling.
Yeah.
Like I felt like my
because
path
of the
was
genre or like what was the limitation there?
A lot of it had to do with I think the genre.
Yeah.
Which you was know, what, it's like timing.
Neo-soul?
It was neo soul, but it was very specific.
Okay.
We did great overseas.
Really?
Yeah. We had these amazing tastemaker DJs throughout like the BBC and you know, we did a lot of touring in Europe and, you know, the UK. But it didn't quite catch on in the States.
Interesting. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think maybe it's timing.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real way of saying
or like what the taste is in radio at the time.
Yeah. It wasn't really radio kind of, you know, friendly for what was going on in the world.
States,
yeah.
Especially probably.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely didn't quite make it to that point.
Yeah.
But I do think it's timing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that for me was supposed to be the learning period.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In my career. And the fact that the situation with fits and the tantrums uh-huh. happened the way that they did so naturally.
Yeah.
You know, it's like James King was the catalyst to me being in the band. James is our saxophonist, you know, and I knew James because he had done horn arrangements on my original band's record.
Ah, okay.
So everything connected, yeah. you know, and it just so happens that he and Fitz went to college together and they developed the sound of,
you just you know, never know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just totally happened.
And also, like, it's a great example of how there are very few things in our lives that we should really feel regret for. I mean, unless we, like, really hurt somebody or whatever, feel bad about that.
Yes.
But in terms of time spent and maybe that wasn't the right thing and yeah. you feel like you wasted time or whatever,
yeah.
there's almost always something that I've, you learned from it
yeah.
that led you to the next great thing, like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Zero regrets right. about what has happened in my life yeah. musically.
That's awesome.
None.
I mean, you wouldn't be doing this now if you had not done that.
Yeah.
It was all part of the same path.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've been very fortunate to work with the caliber of musicians that I've worked with.
Yeah.
You know, talented artists that I've worked with uh-huh. over time. Huge into the hip hop scene.
Yeah.
You know, for a while I was writing with, you know, other artists like Dilated Peoples was one, Madlib uh-huh. from Stone's Throw. I worked cool. with a lot of wonderful, you know, hip hop artists
yeah.
in a certain area uh-huh. Of music. And I had so many learning experiences from that. I feel like I wouldn't be the artist that I am today had I not had those experiences.
Yeah.
You know, it really, like, you get your chops from that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about what you were like as a kid. Because you're such a boss when you perform now with Fitz.
Thank you.
You're very, like, lovely and wonderful in person.
Thank you.
And not intimidating. As a performer, you are intimidating because you're just fucking awesome.
Thank
you. So but how did you get that? Were you like that as a child?
I think I was fearless, but like I said, trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
I was young and, you know, I really liked, like I was kind of a loner.
Were you?
Yeah, I used to get bullied.
Really?
Which I thought was like, really, I just like, I think
like
that's
in what period are we talking about?
Like junior high school.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like boys that maybe liked me,
uh-huh.
but they'd beat up on you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, but at the time I didn't know that that's how it was. I just thought, I was like, I thought I was ugly and like,
yeah.
I was just completely flat chested. Nothing grew for me. It was like one of those, like, I felt like a tomboy constantly. I had the worst style.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just didn't know any of that. But
did you go to
public school? I went to public school.
Okay.
You know, I during that period, I was in Hawthorne, California. And okay. It was night and day from where I went to high school.
Yeah.
I ended up in South Pasadena for high school.
Okay. So, what is Hawthorne like?
Hawthorne is culturally a lot of, you know, African American, Mexican, Tongan. Like, it was okay. just very multicultural.
Yeah.
And it was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Were you already a performer by middle school?
I started,
like, by nature, at least.
Like, nature. Yeah. I think what I used to do in my room, I would sing all the time. My mom got me, like, my first Sony.
Oh,
and
yeah.
like cassette tapes were big.
Totally.
And my dad was a DJ, so in the disco era, so had tons of records.
Oh.
And I loved singing.
Okay.
But I was singing, like, in my room, and I didn't realize that I even had a voice until I performed at my junior high school talent show.
Okay.
Where I decided I wanted to do the fashion show. I wanted to dance in the crew. Like, we had, like, four girls.
That's pretty ballsy for someone who's getting bullied.
Yeah. No, I just, like,
you were, I don't care.
That was my outlet.
Yeah.
That was my outlet. So
that's cool.
I sang a cappella in an En Vogue song.
Which one?
Just Can't Stay Away.
Uh-huh.
Huge song, and a cappella, and me just, like, with the microphone.
In a talent show?
And then just opened up. Yeah. And yeah.
Did you win?
It wasn't like a competition. Okay, they don't really do that. Yeah, it's like a showcase. They don't want to make kids feel bad.
I feel like they used to back then, though.
Yeah.
Maybe your school is more progressive.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just
no,
like,
now they would never.
Never.
Yeah. Never allow a child to think that they're anything less than.
That's exactly.
Like, yeah, it's not our culture.
And I like that.
No,
I
it's
like
good.
That.
It's good. Public humiliation will come anyway. The school doesn't need to facilitate it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so your dad was a DJ.
My dad was a DJ.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, he used to DJ at, like, the Whispers parties. Like, it was just, like, he was the funk guy. He partied. Wow. He'd had all kinds of cars, and he was just, like, a baller.
Did he grow up in L.A.? What's his
story? He grew up in L.A. Okay. He was originally from Louisiana.
Okay.
So he, you know, like, in his childhood years, he was there for most of the time, and then they moved to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and his family, he's, you know, got three sisters. He's the only, you know, like, he has a baby brother as well, but sisters in his life, you know.
But did you have grandparents in Louisiana?
No.
No.
Okay. No. It's my stepfather. He's my dad.
Got
like,
it.
I grew up with him at, like nine.
Right.
He entered my life. So. Okay. He is an incredible person.
Yeah.
You know, he taught me a lot about being strong and secure and not letting people walk all over me. He learned, you know, he taught me how to save money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he took on that role. And my mom is extremely smart. The women in my family are just crazy.
Okay.
Like, they're extremely smart. I mean, you know, it's like she's very soft spoken. She can be very shy. And I think when I was a kid, I had a lot of that.
Yeah.
From her.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then I kind of developed.
But your dad was in you.
My dad was
to
in
break
me.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But my mom is incredibly smart.
Uh-huh.
You know, she does not look her age.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you.
Good
for
genes.
Those genes.
Good genes. Yeah.
You know, but the women in my family are very powerful women and just smart and just, you know, my aunt Irene she's the communal person. The dinners, and I learned a lot of that from her.
Does anyone else sing in the family?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So you got the musical exposure, but that voice doesn't have a genetic explanation.
I have no idea where it came from.
Okay.
Scientifically, they say we don't understand how people, some people can sing and some people can't.
Yeah.
They can't figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of nice, though.
Yeah.
It's nice that some things are still unexplained.
I
love
it.
Especially when it comes to art. Like, that's good.
I love it.
Yeah, let's not try to figure it out. And so then you went to college to study.
I went to college to study.
What was your major?
I actually went, I had to pick, like, marketing was my thing.
Okay.
But I really enjoy. I did everything. I was like, I want to do photography. And I want to study Arabic.
Okay.
I was like, why not?
Totally.
Everybody wants to learn French and Spanish. I'm going for it, you know? So I did that for like a year, and that was fun, but I'm terrible at conversation. I get really like, oh my God, I'm totally, I mean, with any language that I've tried to learn, I always get a little bit like nervous. Like, am I saying the words wrong? Exactly. All of a sudden I speak perfect French.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had enough wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
where did you go to school?
I started out in Berkeley.
Okay.
Dropped out.
Really?
Hated living in the Bay.
Really?
Hated it.
Why?
One, it was too cold.
Okay.
Two, it was, I felt like it was really hard for me to make friends there.
Yeah.
I felt like kind of lonely.
Interesting.
And I wasn't sure in the beginning, if I wanted to go to school right away.
Yeah.
You know, like it was like coming out of high school.
You were there, but you weren't even sure that you wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like the right place. So you're like, what's the point?
Yeah. I came back home.
Okay.
And then just, I had to go to school. Like, I couldn't live at my parents' house not doing anything.
Right.
You know, they were like, you either get a job or you go back to school.
Yeah.
So I went back and I just ended up, you know, Pasadena City College.
Okay.
I went there. They had their own radio station. So I had a telecommunications, you know, class that I was taking, you know, with radio and, you know, splicing tapes and learning about sound, you know, like the scientific sound.
Yeah.
And then I discovered that there was a music business course there, that this songwriter, this guy by the name of Joey Gallo, mm-hmm. who was with a company called Rondor Music for a while, and he was teaching popular songwriting and music business.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I met like a few like good friends from there. They've been my friends for years.
Uh-huh.
And I learned a lot. I ended up interning at Atlantic.
Really?
Yeah. I interned at Atlantic Records for a year.
Whoa.
And in the publicity department. So I had like a whole experience of
how
like.
How was that?
It was fun.
Yeah?
It was fun.
Okay.
I met.
I was going to say, you probably met some cool people.
I met some great people. It was like Tori Amos's record was coming through and I was total fan of hers. You know, it was like, that was a killer record. So it was fun. And, you know, that was around the time Black Child and Missy Elliott was, you know, blowing up then. And Aaliyah was that, you know, like in that whole like realm of music. It was just really cool time.
But you weren't thinking, I'm going to become a performer.
I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I felt like I didn't want to be the star.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to kind of be in the background helping other people gain their career.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I still.
Was it still that shyness? Is that what that was?
I don't know. I don't know. Like I think, you know, I feel like every artist that's at in some point of their career have a fear of failing.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if, you know, like I was like, I'm not sure if I have that in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do this on a regular basis, you know, and I didn't know enough about it.
Yeah.
At that point, like it was like it's different from being in school, but it's different from putting your having that be your life.
Totally.
You know, so I wanted to like really know if I was going to get into it, that I was going to get into it.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was in my path.
Okay.
You know, because even when I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Things still came along and I never really said no to anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
that feeling is interesting because that fear of failure, if you feel it too strongly, it can keep you from doing anything. But at the same time, if it's the right amount, it will propel you to keep working your ass off, to keep proving to yourself and everybody that you're not a failure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there's some sweet spot.
Yeah.
So I guess eventually you got the right balance of that feeling.
It did. I mean, I hung out with the Black Eyed Peas.
Well, there
they
you go.
Were like, I mean, I watched these guys like, woo, they got big. I sang on the Elefunk record.
Wow.
You know, like I watched Fergie enter the band. Like there were so many amazing moments that I had in this period of my life. And I knew at that point, I want to do this.
Really?
Yeah. I was like.
Do you remember a moment or?
I think I
was. Turning point?
When I decided to solidify my position with the Rebirth.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I was kind of pussyfooting around. I couldn't figure out what I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And finally, I was given an ultimatum. And I was like,
in or you're out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He was like, I can't waste time doing this.
Right.
And it was such a long process until we got the record out.
Yeah.
You know, but
when
was,
did you start singing? I mean, you're interning, but then when does that turn into?
Okay. So I used to go to, that's how I met Carlos. I used to go to this club called the Root Down.
Uh-huh.
Had no business being in there. I was not even 21 yet.
Okay.
I would sneak in.
Uh-huh.
And, I would just watch hip hop artists that was actually how I learned how to perform, was watching those guys.
Yeah.
You know, and the hip hop thing really started because I was dating this guy and they were doing this session and they played this song that they were going to sample. And it was like my favorite like disco song, "The Way I Feel About You." And I was started singing.
Uh-huh.
And they had no idea I could sing. They were like, "Wait, first of all, where did that come from? And number two, can you sing this chorus?" So I did it. Wow. And it was my first recording experience outside of what I had done with my solo stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, no more music. I can't do a band thing. I'll get that later. But I can't, you know, like I took a break. I didn't sing for anybody.
Wow.
And then after that, it just kind of rolled off.
It was like the cat was out of the bag.
That was it.
There's no pulling it back.
Exactly.
And then you're like, oh, I guess I do enjoy this.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I was able to kind of do songwriting.
Uh-huh.
And sing.
Yeah.
You know, on track.
So you're writing for other people?
I was writing choruses for hip hop artists.
Yeah.
You know, I was singing on the projects. I was, you know, featuring on them and I was writing choruses.
Wow.
You know, so that's, I was able to do that because it was also something when I was like 9 or 10, I wrote down every single song that I liked.
Yeah.
I had a booklet full of songs, like from hip hop to like R&B to like James Taylor.
Uh-huh.
I wrote every song down and I learned it to the nines. So when I started doing this, it was like, oh,
I like
writing.
Yeah.
Totally do this, you know, and I did it and it helped me on my way.
Wow. So was that straight out of the internship you started doing that stuff?
Yeah.
Did you ever have to get a day job?
It's so funny. My first job was after I graduated from high school, I was a librarian.
Okay.
And then I went from the library to Baskin and Robbins.
Oh my God.
And I got real big.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like ice cream.
Yes. I worked at a diner once and every milkshake I had to make, there'd be a little left over and I just poured it into a glass for myself. And then it's like 15 pounds later, I don't know what happened.
Yep. Yeah. And I was in retail. I did that. I worked and I did music, you know, and
how long until you were able to just do music?
I want to say during the rebirth period, I couldn't really work. I had the in-between. So when we weren't on tour, I had a job.
Yeah.
But not until I did Fitz.
Really?
But I was also getting royalty income.
Okay.
So I was able to kind of like save up. So I had a stack of like savings.
Okay.
You know, so I was saving while I was working, but then I was starting to get residual payments and, you know, I'd done a lot of stuff for Will.i.am. So I was getting paid from, you know, I was able to join the union and, you know, every session I did with an artist that was with a, you know, major label that had to do contractual work with AFTRA, I was getting paid from that.
Yeah.
So I was able to hold, you know, a year or so worth of income when I started doing Fitz full time.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I haven't worked since then. I haven't had a job. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, not that it's not working to be in a band like that and be touring so much and everything. Yeah.
Exactly.
But how does that lifestyle suit you, that touring life?
It's, you know, it's touring's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's
think it's weird.
No, you're constantly moving around.
Yeah.
And thankfully for me, I love traveling.
Uh-huh.
I really do. Yeah. You know, I try to take at least 2 trips a year.
Okay.
You know, that are not just work related.
Right.
And I love going overseas.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love going to visit friends. Like I go to Chicago, I'll come out here to New York. I'll San Francisco, I have friends. So I try to do things like that.
Yeah.
So I think with the traveling aspect of being able to go into cities that you never would have thought, one, you probably didn't know existed.
Right.
Two, you wouldn't have thought of going to had you heard of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we've learned so much about the United States of America.
Oh, I'm sure.
In the last 7 years, we've been a band. And that part of the touring life is easy.
Uh-huh.
What becomes difficult is not being able to drive myself. I'm very independent. You know, I can't drive myself anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a car.
Right.
Uber's there. But you're not driving yourself. Mm-hmm. That takes a big part of your life away.
Do you ever rent a car and you're like, I'll see you guys later?
I wish. I thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, you're on a bus with, you know.
Right. You probably don't have time.
No.
It's probably not a lot of like days off no. to go exploring.
Yeah. Well, what became my thing
yeah.
is I started discovering that I would forget where we were 2 days prior. So what sure. I started doing was kind of keeping a journal, but then also going to find restaurants because I love food.
Uh-huh.
I love cooking for people. I came from a family that they all cooked,
uh-huh.
you know, so that became kind of part of my existence on touring, and it gave me a break from it just being about music or just being in the venue or mm-hmm. being stuck on the bus and not really getting to know the city that I was in, you know, in this short period of time. And that really helps.
Yeah.
You know, having this kind of like outside thing because you get a break. You get a moment to yourself to not be on, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
so
important.
That's a big thing for me.
Yeah. And do you guys go internationally a lot?
We've been international
yeah.
for sure. You know, and it's fun for me because I love Paris.
Uh-huh.
You know,
okay.
we have a good fan base in
I feel like they would love you there.
In France. Yeah. I mean, Fitz is part Parisian.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, he's half French, half Irish.
Okay.
His mom, full-blood Parisian. She has
a
total accent. She's so cute.
So they'll accept you.
Yes, exactly.
Because you have some true Parisian
exactly.
among you.
Exactly. Yeah. So I love that. And then it took me back because I had done that with, you know, the Rebirth, like traveling with them. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice to kind of go back there. It's still really nice to go back there. And you get to see your worldwide audience.
Yeah.
We went to South America for the first time.
Really? Where'd you go?
We did the Lollapalooza tour. So we were in Buenos Aires. We went to Paraguay. We went to Brazil.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
I have not been there. I went to Buenos Aires and yeah. I think I would have moved there if it was not quite so far away.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
felt very much like it's the other side of the planet.
It is.
But it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. You know, we got an opportunity to hang out in Rio.
Yeah.
You know, the band, some of us kind of stayed back. Fitz was like, I'm tired. I'm going home. You know, but we stayed in Rio for a couple days
cool.
and it was lovely.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the experiences where you actually get to, you have so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we get more breaks and when we're like in foreign countries than we do in the States because right. it's like travel time's a lot longer.
Yeah, exactly.
You do that. I love Canada. You know,
yeah.
we have a wonderful supporters in Canada. Radio is very supportive of us in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I have amazing friends in Vancouver. So that's like my hangout.
That's good.
When I go out there. Yeah.
I have no preconception of what your demographic would be because your music is so original that I don't imagine that it's that tailored to a particular kind of fan base, right?
It isn't.
It's probably
yeah.
a diverse mix that you guys get.
We do. I mean, yeah. age ranges definitely.
Yeah.
Finally, you know, like now looking at analytics, you know, with social media.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's weird. You can actually tally that up.
Yeah. I'm like, how many women are, you know, yeah. like, oh, we got a big women's. They love us.
Good.
You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I love it. We have a lot of women fans.
Yeah.
You know, and I think now it's starting to get into like the college realm. Like, I mean, I think even below that, it's like now 17.
Really?
Toddlers. But consistent like music buyers is like yeah. 17 to about I think like 36 to 40.
Okay.
Yeah. But in the beginning it was kind of like babies dance to us, but like babies to grandparents. We would have whole families coming to our shows.
Right.
And they're like, live from Daryl's house. We loved you guys
oh my
on
God,
there.
That's so funny.
You know, picking up the Pieces record. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
well, it's very danceable music.
Yeah.
Everyone
a party.
Enjoys that.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We party.
Yeah, it's a
we party. We love that. I'm like, I can't be on stage boring.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to see you stand around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys, are you good when you're on tour? Do you take care of yourselves?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are
we
you
definitely
guys,
do.
Boring when you're not performing? Or do you guys get a little crazy? Like,
yeah,
what's the band
I mean,
life
it's
like?
It's fun. I mean, you know, like the guys got, I'm kind of boring. I think
I
I'm
know.
Boring on tour. I get everybody together and we go to dinners and then I have my
yeah,
fun when we have the
down.
Days off.
Yeah.
But it's like you have to take care of yourself because you don't want to get sick. The minute
yeah.
one person gets sick,
you're all screwed.
We're all screwed.
Yeah.
It is all over the bus and
yeah.
it's like domino effect.
Right.
You know, so we do. We take care of ourselves. I mean, for the most part, when I'm on heavy touring,
uh-huh.
I don't drink.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I'm like ready for bed.
Right.
You know, we burn a lot of calories on stage.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I'm like, No, I'm done.
Yeah, you need to sleep.
Yeah, I'm out. Like days off, like I'll do something with everybody, and you know, we'll go to the movies, or you know, like I'll go boozing with the crew and stuff. But like that's we try to keep it clean. We eat really well.
Yeah,
you know, our writer has kale, and we have a Vitamix.
You have your kale.
Yeah, okay. We do that. Almond butter, and yeah, we're all the way hippie.
Yeah, no, you have to.
Yeah,
you have to.
Yeah, but we have fun. You know, it's like.
How big is the band?
Six of us.
Okay.
There are six of us total.
Yeah.
I call it N, F, and J's. Because it's James, Joe, Jeremy, and John.
Okay.
And That's then it's funny. Michael and Noel. Yeah, or Fitz. It's Fitz and Noel.
Yes. What do you call him? You call him Michael?
I go back and forth.
Okay. Really?
Fitzy. When we're professional, I'm like, Michael. And then when it just, you know, like, of course, like we're doing, it's Fitz.
It's Fitz.
His name's Fitz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fitz to us.
Fitz.
Yeah. What's it like being the only woman in that group?
I've always been the only woman in groups.
You're used to it.
I mean, it's just, I'm like, I don't know where they all went.
Like, I don't know what to compare it to.
I don't. It's nice.
Yeah.
You know, it is nice because they're like brothers.
Right.
I'm married to, you know, five people, you know, it's your brother and sisters. And, you know, we really respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really respect each other as band members.
Yeah.
Every single person in this band is talented.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder, though?
Like, not from within the band, but when you guys are dealing with other people, have you ever noticed that, I mean, considering you and Fitz are co-leaders of the group, right?
Yeah.
Do you notice though that people will tend to defer to him for questions or to make decisions?
It's interesting. In the beginning, it was kind of like that.
Yeah.
I think now you all have your roles.
Yeah.
He's business. Radio numbers, I could like care less.
Okay.
You know, like I can't get into that.
Yeah,
it's too much. But the creative end, you know, both of us are very balanced. I'm very visual.
Yeah.
You know, video concepts, I'm constantly sending and, you know, kind of video ideas, like especially with, you know, hand clap. I was like, I want a dance video. Can we please do that? And Fitz was totally into it. You know, so we really went like, I cannot wait for people to see the new new video in a couple weeks. It'll be out. But, you know, it's just so much fun.
Uh-huh. And do you direct ever?
No, I don't know if I have. I mean, I could co-direct. I mean, maybe.
You have a lot of ideas and you're very visual.
I do. I'm very visual with that. And I love, like, I work with Lisa, our manager, with merch and stuff like that.
Cool.
I've always been, because, of course, you know, my retail game. And I'm like all of it. I'm like fashion.
Fashion.
You know, so I work on, you know, stuff like that. And Fitz is totally into it. I'm like, we got to have our things. You know, the social media. I created all of her social media pages. I'm a freak with Snapchat now.
Are you?
I never thought I would be into that thing.
Dude, I'm trying. I can't. I feel like I'm just bad at it or something. I cannot figure it out. It's so much effort for me.
You have to not care. You have to be so fun.
What's the point of this thing? It's like, it's so sloppy to me.
Well, I think that's what's interesting about it is that you don't have to take yourself so seriously.
Right.
You know, like I feel like with like Instagram and stuff, you have to be like perfect picture and everything has to be
filter.
Like, has to look so like consistent.
That's true.
And I'm like Snapchat, I'm like, psh. Ugly face filter.
I mean, literally half my friends snaps. I'm like, did you know your phone was on? I don't know what that video was of. It looks like it was of a toilet in a public restroom. What's happening?
I mean, I had one. I went to my friend's birthday party in LA after like we had finished a bunch of rehearsals for the, you know, the tour coming up and stuff. And I had no recollection of any. I don't even remember having my phone out, first of all. But I'd looked at my Snapchat story and I was like, are you kidding me?
What was it?
I was like hammered. First of all, I was like, whoa, what happened there?
That's the scariest when you look at your phone after a night out.
Yeah, I was like filming everybody else. I was like beer pong. I was like taking selfies with my friends, but I loved it. You know, I was like, this is my experience. This is what I want to, you know, I want to have people see my world. I'm a fun person.
Yeah.
You know, and I enjoy that, you know, and I feel like with the band, We are fun people.
Yeah.
You know?
So is your Snapchat public?
Yes.
Like anyone can follow you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Why not?
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's awesome.
They start getting weird. I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I have, you know, I follow people. Yeah, I follow people. I have my friends that I follow and stuff like that.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. I think it's smart too, because it's, I don't know, another way for your fans to feel close to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, that's, I'm, you know,
all
creative. Like my mind's always going about stuff like that. And, you know, Fitz is very creative as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, he went to film school in college.
Oh, did he?
That was his thing. And he dropped out for music.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are going to make a movie at some point.
At some point. We're going to do something.
Yeah.
We're going to do something together. Okay. But yeah, he would be a great director. You know, he's very into the cuts and stuff like that. So he gets into all the detail. I have the visionary. You know, I don't completely know exactly how the cuts are going to work, but he understands that. So we're balancing that way.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
How do we get on this topic? Oh, because I was asking if people defer to him more. So I think you were saying, because they know like each of your strengths.
They know each of our strengths. I mean, but we do. Yeah, no, I mean, it's very equal when we do interviews together. It's just, you know, we have knowledge of our relationship, and it's very, I think it's very balanced.
Cool.
You know, yeah.
So why isn't it Fitz and Noel?
Oh, God, no.
Who are the tantrums?
You're
a tantrum?
You know, it's really funny. I think that's why we got the name. Our mutual friend of ours named Dee Dee Sherriel, who's an amazing artist in LA. She's been really good friends of Fitz's for a long time. And we were trying to find a name that, you know, really stood out. First of all, I mean, Fitz is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, his last name's Fitzpatrick. And, you know, it was just that.
It sounds cool.
But it was just a drop in the hat. And it became a play on words. Fitz having a fit.
Oh, I never even.
The tantrums.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So slow with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
Yeah. It worked out. When I tell people, like, that's how it is. Like, for us in our head, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's initially, it was a drop in the hat. And then we were looking at it. We're like, oh my God, that's it. That's who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like that. And it's fitting with the kind of music and dancing. It's like, let's all just have a tantrum together.
Dumping together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so what's the rollout with the album now? What's happening?
So the record's coming out June 10th.
Okay.
It is self-titled.
Awesome.
Fitz in the Tantrums, Fitz in the Tantrums. That's what we're gonna
But only once.
Say.
Only once.
Only once. Only once. And we are going to start our spring summer tour in June.
Okay.
About a few days after we release the record, we are on the grind.
And
basically until like the first week of September.
Wow.
And then we'll start planning out the fall tour. Like, I mean, that's just how life begins.
Yeah.
You know, we're like I said, we're promoting the record right now. Hand Clap is doing really well for us.
Yeah.
You know, like we're gaining traction very quickly. The label's very excited. Our entire team is so supportive of us. You know, so this is what we're doing.
That's awesome.
And talking about it and being very, you know, we're all very excited.
Yeah.
To get
Are you guys
out.
Going to any festivals or anything this
Yeah,
summer?
we're doing Firefly Fest tomorrow, coming up.
Okay.
And then we are actually playing Sunfest on Saturday.
Okay.
This Saturday.
Cool.
This Saturday. Yes.
Nice.
We're headlining.
And is all the touring the summer in the U.S.?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We're doing that. We're figuring out the international plan, which I have a feeling we're going to end up there in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a little bit.
Back to Paris in the fall, perhaps?
Oh, God. I'm so excited.
I mean, Paris is great any time of year, honestly.
Any time of year. Yeah. It is beautiful there. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, like, I have friends in Romania, and, you know, they're huge celebrities out there, and they're texting me. They're like, Hand Clap is on the radio.
Really?
Yeah, sending me, like, little,
Whoa.
Like, I love it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm like, world domination.
Yeah.
Yes.
When do you get to hang out in Nashville?
I know. I seriously, I've seen my house like for a week and a half.
Where is
I was
your dog?
Living in LA. She's at the sitter right
you?
Now, but now she travels with me.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's going on tour with us come July.
Good. What's her name?
Marley.
Marley.
She's so cute.
Marley, is she ever going to make an appearance on stage?
I don't know. She may. She's been to she's been to our rehearsals and stuff.
Yeah.
The guys love her. You know, they love her.
Just let her run out.
She's such a good dog. They're excited to have her on tour.
Yeah.
You know.
That'll keep spirits up.
That'd be fun. Yeah. So it's the Get Right Back tour.
Okay.
And actually one of our songs is called Get Right Back on the new record.
Uh-huh.
So we were like, we're back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Noel, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Congrats on the album. It's so fun. And yeah, it'll be out soon. and happy touring.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.